I'll talk to you later. We are on the Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, and we are now discussing the machlokes between Chizki and Rabbi Yochanan, whether biblically speaking, does Hezek Shein and Nikar a Hezek or not a Hezek? And now we're going to try to prove, we'll see, against Chizki. Masiv Rabbi Lazar, we are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines from the bottom of 53A. So I guess it's 53A3. Masiv Rabbi Lazar. Again, you're not allowed to work with the paraduma. You're not allowed to work with the water of the paraduma that is drawn to mix in the ashes. And if you work with it, it becomes puzzle. The person who does it does not have to pay, but upstairs he's going to get roasted. Rashi. Unless he does tshuva. Rashi. Mechatas, the paraduma, became paratma, nifsalim imlocha. They can puzzle with work. The siv, ashley olala oil. But the parat says no yoke ever went on it, and we learn not any kind of work was not done with it. But the mechatas siv, the mishmaris lomedita. And mechatas says it has to be kept for sprinkling water. Tanya besefri, my time with Leimer. Sheyachal, ainli shetem imlocha beselas olal para. Because I would think the work only answers the para. You have to guard it for sprinkling water. When you draw the water from the well, it has to be kept for sprinkling water. Just as an aside, not because it's negaya this sugya, but people should know, is that this paraduma water was distributed all over Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, what happened is, if a guy became Tamei Beis in Tzfas, he also wanted to become Tahar. He did not have to go to Yerushalayim. Yes, the Paraduma was made in Yerushalayim. Then they sent the ashes all over Eretz Yisrael. They had in every section in Eretz Yisrael, exactly where, I don't know. They used to send some of the ashes of the Paraduma. And in Tzfas, they got, I picked Tzfas as a city, they had the ashes of the Paraduma. They drew water from a well and mixed some of the ashes in and sprinkled on people that were Tamei Meis in Tzfas. The same was done in Tveria and in Tel Aviv and in Haifa. It was not only centrally located. They sent out a lot of the ashes, distributed it all over Eretz Yisrael. People become Tamei Meis all over the place. People die, there's Levias, automatically they're Tamei Meis. So they had these ashes and water available. However, that water that's drawn to mix the ashes in cannot be worked with. That's mishmeres l'may nidat. The water can be drawn in Tzvas, the water can be drawn in Chaifa. Wherever you drew the water from a spring, that water gets the may part, that's called mechatos. And they mix the ashes in that they received from Yerushalayim, from where they made the paraduma. That's the reality of what happened. It's punishments that are paid to the wicked people because this person, at least the Gemara talks, thinks it's bemazed, even bemazed. Lamaisa, he ruined the water, and it could ruin tarasa, people's getting tar. So therefore, he ruined the paraduma. Now, Rashi doesn't mention a thing that he should pay b'dei shemayim. Elsewhere, Rashi says chayav b'dei shemayim means that if he wants to do the good thing, he should pay for it because that will remove the din shemayim from him. Here, Rashi alludes no payment here. Rashi says the very act of working with the paraduma makes him a rasha. And therefore, Rashi does not say, pay for it and you're exonerated. There's no mention of that in Rashi. Elsewhere, Rashi says, wherever it says Chayav B'dinei Shemayim means, we don't enforce the payment, but if he's smart, he pays and that he's off the hook. But here, Rashi doesn't mention a word of payment. Rashi says, upstairs, they're waiting for him because he ruined the paraduma. Rashi doesn't say he can compensate. He doesn't mention it. But there's no reason to believe that Rashi argues on different Rashis. It could be that if he pays Klal Yisrael back for the paraduma, means he gets them a different paraduma or whatever it is, he could be off the hook. It's hard to pay a paraduma because it's not so frequent, but that's what could be Rashi holds.
You can't misaken it with doing tshuva?
Everything is misaken with doing tshuva.
So what?
Meaning at this point he's chayev dinei shamayim. We're not punishing him, but upstairs he's chayev. He has to do tshuva.
Right. So paying Klal Yisrael is one way of doing tshuva, right?
It's definitely a step in the right direction.
Right. And another option would be just doing tshuva.
Not so simple.
Yeah.
It's not so simple.
Oh.
When you cause a monetary loss, not so simple you can do tshuva without compensation.
Okay. That's right. That's where I'm coming from.
I'm glad you are. But Rashi doesn't talk about that. Rashi doesn't mention a word about paying. He just says, at this point, he has a din waiting for him. I'm saying Rashi elsewhere talks about paying. Rashi here does not mention it. Let's think about it. Via Amrit. This is a non-recognizable damage. You worked with the paraduma. The paraduma looks exactly the same. There is no recognizable damage. So the dini of the mamil chayev. According to Chizkia, this is regular damage. Now, Rabbi Yechon also has a problem because the chayra shagig would be chayev. According to Rabbi Yechon, Bezit should be chayev anyway. Midrabanan. But Chizki is shver even midaraisa. The Rishonim speak out that according to Rabbi Yechon, you can learn midaraisa yipatim adinei adam. Came along to Rabbanon and made a knas. And the braisa just means midaraisa yipatim. That's what you could learn in this Gemara. But according to Chizki, midaraisa you pay. So why does it say patim adinei adam? Again, the Rishonim are bothered. This is not only a kasha on Chizki, this is a kasha on Rabbi Yechon too. Because the bottom line is Rabbi Yechon agrees that if you do a b'mezid, you're chayev. He just says it's a knas. But the bottom line is you're chayev. This price just says you're punter. So Rabbi Yechon is just a share. Gemara asked on Chizkia. Why does Gemara only ask on Chizkia? This is catching everybody. So that's what's stopping again. There's three terutzim in the Rishonim. So one of the terutzim of the Rishonim say, Meshitas HaKadmainim says this, that's the name of the Sefer. He says that according to Rabbi Yechon, you can say that when the Braita said, Pasim Adinei Adam, it meant biblically, not rabbinically. But according to Chizkia, it's Chayim biblically. So why in the world does it say Pasim Adinei Adam? That's how the Shitas HaKadmainim, there are other Terutzim, this is the Shitas HaKadmainim Teres. Yes?
I missed something. Who does he pay to?
It doesn't say to pay to anybody. I guess Klal Yisrael, whoever owns the Paraduma. Nobody can collect. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, part of it was somebody can own it before it gets burnt, right? He sells it to the
Hegdish, to who? Well, the Hegdish buys a paraduma, sure, it costs a lot of money.
Right, so Hegdish pays him? Hegdish pays him?
Hegdish pays whom?
The owner. Yeah.
Sure, Hegdish pays him big money, big bucks.
But then the main house belongs to the Hegdish.
Whoever drew it becomes to him. You own Chamechatas that you drew so you can have ashes put into here to get people tar. And somebody did work with it, now you got to go to war, get water. Water is not so simple to get, this spring water, wherever they draw it from.
And then who holds the ashes?
Again, you weren't here. I spoke out, they distributed the ashes all across Eretz Yisrael. Bezin.
So the governor is not holding it?
Whoever is in charge, they have a gizber there. I don't know.
And then do you have to buy it?
No. Not the ashes. The water, people drew the water. The water you drew, that became your water. And then you mixed the ashes in and they used it to be matar people.
You owned it now. After they put the ashes in, you still own
it. The water was done the malacha before you mixed the ashes in.
Once you mix your ashes in, now it's
still. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know. You can't charge for this. You can charge for drawing the water. You can charge for drawing the water. I don't think you can charge for sprinkling. For sure you can't charge. I'm sorry? It's not Hegdish to begin with. The water is regular spring water. I'm not sure. I don't know. The water is not Hegdish. The ashes are not Hegdish. The ashes below, it's not a carbon. This is not a carbon. This is called paraduma. It's not the regular carbon. True, but I don't know if this is Hegdish. Honestly, I don't know.
And if you have a vial or a bottle of this ash water, when he uses it, as he was talking about somebody who uses it for coolant,
right.
Does he have a time for the rest of it in the water? Or the,
he ruins the water.
The stuff that he used, that he
collected. The chayre, no, the stuff that was used. He had a bucket of water, and he put his dish in to wash it before it was mixed with the ashes.
Oh, the water was mixed with the ashes?
Yes.
Oh.
The water has to be not worked with. The spring water cannot be used for work. Okay. Zukti Gemara Vait. Amphit the Gemara, who mites of love, whom a fire club? Reb Lazar asked the question, and he gave the answer. Parash echnisa l'rivka l'ravka amenashe tidig v'tidish mechata sheshaka b'hem mishkolos. What happened is, there wasn't even a hezik shein a nikar. What he did is, he brought the para in to nurse. Perfectly legal. He's allowed to take the para in to nurse. If the para, while it's nursing, threshes grain, like he brought the para to its mother, it's nursing, and meanwhile it's stretching grain, that's not usur. He didn't ask, he didn't need it. But if he has intention that while it nurses, it should work, then it's considered malacha. Now, the act wasn't a malacha. What makes it a malacha is his machshava. And therefore, it's not even a hezek shein a nikar. What he did is not a damaging. It's the machshava that damages it. That's called a grumma. That's not even called a hezek shein a nikar. He didn't do anything that's a hezek. His machshava causes it to be a hezek. So therefore, since his machshava is what does it, it's called a grumma. Right? That's what the Gemara is answering. And the same thing by the water. He didn't even do anything with the water. He used as a counterweight. There was no act done to the water of even Ada Nicker. He didn't touch the water. The water is there, and he used it as a counterweight to something so he should know how much it weighs. That's not a Maisa Hezek. Therefore, it's a grumma. It's not even considered an act. It's not even called that he was Mazik. He didn't do anything to the item, meaning he didn't even do an act to the item. Matameh, he was Matameh, he's a truma. He mixed the truma. He was Menasech the ayin. Here, he did nothing. It used as a counterweight. It's not even called the Hezek Shein a Nikar. Let's do Rashi. Dr. Rashi. The Ravka, the Makam Asifas HaBehemas, where they gather, the Kaishra, and they tie it together. Egle Marbeg, the Pasuk says, the cows that are tied together. The Shatinikas Imoch, a nurse from its mother, Betilish Betula Mashar. The Tishlumim Lekha Naisiyadav. You can't say he should pay. Gamal Lutaybech Nastiyo. Shatinik, I'm allowed to bring it in to nurse. Upsulu Lehavela Makshavtosh, and it's Chavin Avshatidosh. What turns it into Isser is the fact that he thought that it should also thresh. We're not machshavim. And this is only possible because of what he thought. Because the Amar, like the Gemara says, ubad dunya da avad nichalei. That if it works on its own, if he's happy with it, it becomes possible. So it's his machshava that he's happy that it's threshing. Not the act. The act is he brought it into nurse. It's threshing on its own, and if he's not happy about it, it's not called he worked with it. If he's happy, it's considered like he worked. But you can't even call it a mitza hezek. That's what the Gemara is answering. It's considered a cause.
He's happy with it after.
At that point, it becomes muscle.
So,
when he's happy, it becomes muscle.
So, we have to think about that one of the Nika, but the stomach is out in the field, and out there, and while it was grazing, it was threshing also.
Same thing. But usually, it wouldn't be threshing out there unless you put it there. Here, you put it where it can thresh, but that wasn't, depends on what your intention is. You want it to nurse, mom is there, so you put it there. So now, it's going to thresh. Are you happy with the fact that it threshes or not? You put it there to nurse. You're right. It could be out in the field and it's threshed on its own. And if you're happy, it becomes usher. You're right.
But that's not called a miser.
It's not even a miser. Nothing. It's a makshava. That's what made yesterday's thing that I spoke out a very fine line. Because Pigel was also, the act was just shechita. It was his makshava or dibor that turned this into Pigel. So we spoke out yesterday, why isn't that, cause why, and we answered that that defines the shechita. Here it doesn't define the what he did. There it defines what he did. That's why it was such a fine line there.
That's why it's not a grammar.
That's why it's not a grammar there, right?
Why can't you say that Pigel
doesn't make a difference. It's a grammar, it's a grammar. Grammar and mice, it depends on what you do. Not, not on the Torah says it's a disaster too. The Torah says you're not allowed to be happy when it works. The same thing. The Torah says it's a grammar. You don't pay for grumba, even though it's usser.
I mean, you can't use it. After everything's done, let's say he wasn't happy, we still can't use it, right?
Why not? Didn't work. You didn't work with it. The Torah says you have to work with it. We learn out that you don't have to work with it. If you're happy while it works, it's like you worked with it.
Once you use it, you're happy that he did it.
That's not true. You might not be happy that it threshed. Maybe you didn't want it to thrash. That's Tyson's Misakha Meir Tarkasha. Yes, why would anybody ever want it to thrash if he knows it's puzzle? So Tyson says, if he's happy with what it did, if it wouldn't be a paraduma, that's called happy. Meaning, if it wouldn't be halacha, then it becomes puzzle. Is he happy with the act that it did? Is he happy that this cow is threshing?
Another cow, he would be happy.
Right? That's not necessarily. Not always do you want every cow to thresh now.
Wow.
Says the discussion, so. Yes.
Do they once
paraduma,
I guess it has to be a certain age, right?
There,
right. As soon as it becomes at a certain age, wouldn't they shecht it right away?
Yes, they would.
And before that, it's not a paraduma, halachically, right?
Yes, it is. If you work with it, it's possible.
In other words, before it hits that age.
Again. It's a paraduma the minute it's born.
I thought they had to be makdash.
We went through this yesterday.
Right.
I don't know if you're makdash or not makdash. It's a paraduma the minute it's born. It's a fact. It's a red cow.
But it can't be used until...
Fine. But it doesn't make a difference. But if you work with it, it can never be used.
So they are makdash immediately?
No!
It just happened. And then
the Isser work has nothing to do with it being hektish.
That part I understand.
So the minute he worked with it, when it was 1 year old, before it became eligible, he ruined the paraduma.
Okay. What happens to the excrement of a paraduma?
I have no idea. What happens to the excrement of all behemoths of hektish? I have no idea. They probably sell it for fertilizer. For fertilizer. It doesn't do with the part, again. You can ask about every carb. Thank you.
No, I never thought about it so much.
Zogti Gemara. Vama Rava says, Bechatos Shishako Behem Mishkolus Shera. That if you use it as a counterweight, it's kosher. It's not considered puzzle. Right? Let's do Rashi. Shishaka Bemishkolas, the Rashi is really going on the Amud Aleph. Dr. Rashi, Shayakuyas Bekaf Mizayim, the water happened to be hanging on a scale. Vayadeya Mishkolam, and he knew what it weighed. Now, in those days, you could weigh, like they do for the pictures of Rosh Hashanah, right, to make this thing. You knew how much the water weighed. You happened to know how much the water weighed, and it was on one side of the scale. Nothing wrong with that. And then, Vnasim Basel Lishakla Bekaf Shnia. You put meat on the other side. The oven by mice of the other, you didn't do anything with the water. The fact you wanted to use it as a counterweight makes it puzzle. That's a grumma. Frek the Gemara, but Rava said that's not even puzzle. So the Gemara loikasha, habagufan, habakinegdon. The difference is when is a puzzle? When you put something into the What happened is, there's different ways of figuring out weight. One is water displacement. You have a cup of water, and you drop something in, and it rises to a different notch. That's another way of figuring out weight, right? And therefore, that's when it's puzzle. Beguf frank the Gemara, beguf on maisa kavet. So that is a maisa. V'yehazik shayna nikash v'yehazik b'dinei adam nami l'chayev. Your answer is great, but it does, then it makes the problem again. If you're putting something into the water, you did do a maisa. Then it's not grumma. And for the Gemara, le'idi b'idi b'kenegdan. Both are talking about you're using as a counterweight. The loy kasha, hod the asuk daite, hod the loy asuk daite. The question is, you have to constantly keep watch it from tumma. And the question is, when you used it as a counterweight, did you forget about watching the water because you were occupied and using it as a counterweight? If you did, it becomes puzzle. So it's not the work that puzzles it, but you didn't do any work. What puzzles it is the fact that you forgot to watch it at that moment. And therefore, if that's a grumma, and for that, you don't pay. But at the same time, it's not even a maisa hezek. It was a hezek hadas. And therefore, that's why it became puzzle. But at the same time, you can't say it's a hezek shenanika because he did nothing to the water. Let's do Rashi. Dr. Rashi. The rubber bekenegdan, the bridges. Masnisa the mashma psulois, sheshakul begufan. He used the water itself, kederach atabachim, like butchers do. Lishko basr b'mayim. They weigh the water by putting it into water, the meat by putting it into water. Sheshlam kli, shesh b'shnasois. They have a kli that has markers, teeth. Teeth, there's like protrusions, looks like teeth.
Graduated.
Right. But nice b'mayim b'rishayna, but nice b'basar b'mayim, achamayim, oylu l'roishim hasheni. Right, they have a certain amount of water, and then they add meat till it goes up to the next marker. They give no charge of a mishko litroi, base litrois. They already know from previous experience that by weighing a liter or two, hamayim oylim magiyim l'roishim hasheni. They can tell by water displacement how much it weighs. Masnisin da asik adaiti mishmurasin aidei amishko. He'd stopped watching it because he was busy weighing. Sheshakel behem, benivsulu behesach adad. The mishmeres may need the ksiv. Shetzricha shimur tamed. Omiyo bedini adam lemachayev the grumba ba'almahu. Called the rabba bedloy asik, and rabba is talking about the asik. So when it said the word asib behem malacha, Taisa says that's going on the para. But on the water, you didn't even do malacha. You just weighed it, used it as a counterweight. And there's nothing wrong with using it as a counterweight. Except that while you used it as a counterweight, you were Masiyak Das. Yes, Dr. Harris. I'm watching it from Tumah.
And that's
that puzzles, it says Mishmeres. It has to be a constant watch.
So it's a 24 hours a day thing?
So, because I just explained, you don't have to sit and watch it 24 hours a day, but it has to be in a place that it's safe 24 hours a day. And when it's out in the open, you have to watch it. If you lock it into a room somewhere in a box, then that's called watching it.
That'll be from day one.
From the when you draw the water. We're not talking about the cow now, we're talking about the water. You don't draw the water until you need the water. It's not drawn 6 years before. Listen, you can draw the water. You can go to a spring in Cleveland. I don't know where there's a spring in Cleveland, but if you find a well in Cleveland, a spring in Cleveland, you can draw the water from there. Know how luck it has to come from a certain place? It has to come from a spring, a well.
It's still called grubba?
Not watching it is a grumma.
Not watching it
is a passive. There's no act. It's passive.
Yeah, grumma, this is even a further grumma.
Well, you're not watching it caused it to become puzzle.
So is there any difference if you put, let's say you just lay the water down on the scale, whatever reason. You aren't thinking about weighing it, and then you have to weigh this meat. Versus, if there's a meat on the scale, you want how much you weigh. Then, is there any difference in that?
No, it depends if you're Masir Das. Usually, you're not Masir Das unless you're busy doing something else. You're watching the water.
So once you start weighing, and then you are, by definition, you're Masir Das.
Not that true. You can keep your eye on the water while you're weighing counterweight. Depends how good you are at it.
Shomer
is
only, he doesn't watch his cow. And if it does damage,
he's high. That's Hilchas Shmirah. That's also a law of Shomer. Not because he was Mazik. A shomer is a matzik by being passive. Again. A shomer obligates himself to be chayev on passive. He's not a shomer here. There's hilchos shmira, where you accept to watch something, you're saying that my lack of watching will obligate me. You're not chayev. You are a mazik, but you're a mazik because of hilchos shmira, not because you are actually mazik.
The shmira case that Feitel spoke about, if you put into a shmira place, that's not based on.
He's not talking about the water, he's talking about every shmira.
Every shmira, right.
Right, so you watch it, it means you keep it in a place where it's safe.
Stop watching.
He's saying if you stop watching it and somebody steals it, you're chayev. Right? How you were passive, you didn't do anything, you were just a grumma.
Right.
Eretz is that you mechayev yourself when you become a shomer. Something in my right. Masav Rapapa. Gazu matbeya v'nifsu. Somebody stole a coin, and then the king decided that the coin is no longer valid. Truma v'nitmas. He sold truma, and it became tamei on its own. Meaning he didn't make it tamei. It became tamei. Chametz v'avral of Pesach. He stole chametz and he kept it over Pesach. Omer loy hari shalach lefanecha. He can say, here is your item. Same item that I took. Even though during the interval period, it's no longer usable. But he didn't do anything to the item, right? The item became possible on its own. For different reasons, but it became possible on its own. Now, v'amet hezek shena nikir shmei hezek. I'm going to explain this Gemara the way Tysus explains it. If you hold Hezek Shein and Nicker is not a Hezek, so you didn't damage it. You stole it, but nothing happened to it. It belongs to the owner. The halacha is when I steal your item, it's yours. I have it. I'm a chayav to watch it, but I didn't do anything to it. So I can give it back as is. Whereas if I would ruin it, I can't give it back as is because I ruined it. But if I can give it back as is, it's your item, and what happened to it happened to it on its own. But if you hold Hezek Shein and Nicker Shmei Hezek, that means if it gets ruined on its own, it's considered as if you ruined it. Because the fact that it's not visible doesn't mean anything. It's like you made it possible on Pesach, even though you didn't touch it. But the fact that you had it over Pesach made it possible. If a Hezek Shein and Nicker is not a Hezek, so you didn't do anything to it. It happens on its own. But if you hold Hezek Shein and Nicker Shmei Hezek, it's considered as if you did an action. Frek the Gemara, so why can you return it? You stole it again. If you wouldn't steal it, you didn't do anything. You stole it. You did an action. Teretz says, you didn't change the item. So therefore you can give it back as is. But if you hold Hezek Shein and Nicker Shmei Hezek, the fact that the item changed under your control, even though it's not visible, let me try to explain this again. Let's say I would steal a coin and it would break. Something happened to it and it broke. I couldn't give back the broken coin. I didn't do anything to it. I stole fruit and it rotted. I can't give back the fruit. I didn't do anything to the fruit. It rotted on its own. The answer is, if you steal something and it changes, you become responsible, even if you didn't change it. If it changes, you become responsible. While it didn't change, it belongs to the owner. What happened, right? But if it changes, you're responsible. You stole fruit, and it rotted. You go back and give him the rotten fruit and say, here is your fruit. I'm sorry, this is not my fruit. It rotted. You didn't make it rot.
It would have rotted anyway.
That's not true. You might have sold it. You might have done a million things. So, let me finish this one. So you see from that halacha that any item that changes visibly, even if you didn't make the change, since you stole it, you're responsible for that change. Right? I stole fruit. I didn't touch it. It rotted on its own. I have to pay him back for stealing. Now, if I didn't rot, I can give him back the fruit. But if it rotted, it's not the same fruit. I have to give him back the same item. Now, the Mishnah says, if I steal chametz and Pesach passed, Is this the same chametz or is it different chametz? The Mishnah, it's the same chametz. What do you mean? It changed. It became usher. The answer is, it didn't visibly change. If it rotted, it visibly changed. If it's Pesach, it didn't visibly change. That makes sense if you differentiate between visible and non-visible. Right? We treat the visible change as if you did it. You didn't make the fruit rot. But since you stole it and it rotted, we say you made it rot. That's how we treat it, as if you made the fruit rot. Because it's a visible change. If it's not a visible change, so the Mishnah, we say you give it back. But if you hold Hezek, Shein, and Nikah, Shmei Hezek, just like when it rots, we say, you made it rot. When Pesach passes, you made Pesach pass. It's the same thing. Your lack, I'm trying to say, by Zela, you don't have to do an action to be Chayav. If the thing changes visibly, you're automatically Chayav for the act of stealing. So if it doesn't change visibly, it should depend if Hezek, Shein, and Nikah, Shmei Hezek or not. Because if Hezek, Nikah, or Shmei Hezek, it changed just as much as if it changed visibly. There's no difference between a visible change and an invisible change. That's what that Mandi Amr says. Bitch like if you hold Hezek, Shein, and Nikah is not a Hezek, so then rotting is visible, and Pesach is not visible. But if you hold there's no difference visible and not visible in damages, there should be no difference visible and not visible in whether you're responsible to give it, can you give this thing back or not. So according to Chizkiah, why can you give the chametz back? You made Pesach pass. I know I didn't make Pesach pass, but I didn't make it rot either. And by rotting, you say, it's considered like I made it rot. So by Pesach, it should be like I ruined it through Pesach. Again, this is a special halacha in Gzela, right? I didn't do anything to the fruit. It rotted on its own. The teretz is, since it's not the same fruit, I'm responsible for stealing it. I'm not responsible for its rotting. I'm responsible because I stole it and I can't give it back. Why can't I give it back? Because it changed. Well, chametz also changed. The answer is, it changed non-visibly. Who cares if it's visible or not? That depends on Hezek, Shein, and Nikah, Shmei Hezek, and not Shmei Hezek. According to Chizkiah, a non-visible change is the same as a visible change. And if by a visible change I can't give it back, by non-visible change I also shouldn't be able to give it back. That's the Gemara's kasha. Am I explaining myself well enough?
What does Zela do to the chametz?
Nothing.
Does it prevent the owner from being able to sell it?
Well, he doesn't have it. He didn't sell it. Well, if I stole fruit and by rotting, I prevented the owner from being able to sell or eat his fruit. Prevention is not a Maisa Hezek. Gzela is a Maisa Hezek. Again.
What's the coin? What could he have done with the coin?
He could have used it before it became puzzle.
Well, it's the chametz once it's stolen.
The owner owns the chametz.
Can he sell the chametz?
No, he doesn't have it. You can't sell what you don't have.
God can't sell it either.
Pashta's not. Not his.
Nice.
Nothing, and we're talking about no year, we're not getting involved in Kiyon Exela now. No years, nothing. Staying away from that. If years just Kainai Nechanan, it would be a different story, but we're not getting involved in that. All the Gemara is trying to say is, just like when it rots, you can't give it back, we view it like you made it rot, because you stole it. So when it becomes Pesach, it should be like rotting. Teretz is, you'll tell me what is visible and what's not visible. That depends on Hezek, Shein, and Nikah. Everybody agrees if the fruit rots, you can't give it back. You didn't make it rot.
What does that mean?
It rotted because it sat around, not because you did something to it.
You could have saved it.
Again, did I do an action?
No.
I stole it. So the Torah says, if you stole it and it changed, you can't give it back. We view that change as if you made that damage.
But you couldn't do Pesach. You can't do anything about it.
I could give it back before Pesach, just like I give it back before it rots. I can't prevent fruit from rotting. Tomatoes will rot. It's just what it is.
Yeah, but Pesach is coming in.
Exactly.
No, I was saying rotting's worse.
Why?
You can prevent it from...
How can I prevent tomatoes from rotting? Please tell me.
How?
Yeah. Keep it for a few more days.
Yeah.
But it's not it's ultimately going to rot. Tomatoes rot. Unless you eat them. We're not pickling them here, you know what I mean?
So by the king, you didn't do anything.
You ever buy a banana and leave it around for a week? What happens? It rots.
Good for shakes.
What?
Good for shakes.
Good for fathers to eat because the kids won't eat it because of the bread. So the fathers have to eat it.
When you change the value, there you can give it back because you didn't do anything. So that's a proof that it's unrecognizable. That is not. That's what you're saying?
Because if it were unrecognizable, it's the same as recognizable. It would be like you did something to the coin. Exactly. So I'm explaining, this is the way Tysus explains it. Dr. Gemar, I got to my mind about my boy Shlomay. Dr. Gemar, Chufta, it slugs up Chizkiah. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, V'nifsel she'poslase malchus nitmas me'aleho. Ha'shloch lefanecho. V'vachi shalom le'oitse atzme. He has to give back that very chometz. V'kabinu be'v'heishu sekzei le'chagozo. Shalom le'nishtan, it didn't change. V'ishmei hezik, migdi. Migdul gazle, he stole it. With the machrim, once he took it, to come there, but shusay. It's a damaged item. It's like a rotten fruit. Now, the truth is, the Gemara could have gotten out of this discussion. Because the Gemara will proceed and say, it's a machloikus tanoim. So the Gemara could have said, the Chizki says, this is part of the machloikus tanoim. But since the Gemara passes anyway, hezik shenei nikud loishmei hezik, the Gemara doesn't bother giving the answer. Right afterwards, we're going to say, it's a machloikus tanoim. So why couldn't Chizki answer that? That mission is going like the other Tana. The answer is, because the bottom line is, we paskin hezik shenei nikud loishmei hezik, so the Gemara just left it alone. Dr. Gemara Baitu, lema ketanoi. Let us say it's a machloikus tanoi. Hamatame v'amadame v'amanasech, echad shaygig v'echad meizit chayev, divrei Remeir. Remeir argues on our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said shaygig is putter. Remeir says you're chayev even b'shaygig. And Rabbi Yehuda Eimer b'shaygig putter b'meizit chayev, like our Mishnah. Now why is Remeir m'chayev b'shaygig? If you hold hezik shenei nikud is not a hezik, why in the world are you being mechayev b'shaygig? Must be he holds it's considered a damage, and he doesn't say, well, we're afraid he won't tell him. Right? Chizkiah held the batsim, it's a damage. Isn't that what the Remeir is saying? You pay b'shaygig. If you're paying b'shaygig, must be that you're really chayev to pay. My lab honkim ibli, the ma'asav hezik shenei nikud shmei hezik. Here's your machlokes tanoim. Remeir says you pay b'shaygig. Doesn't that say he holds it to damage? Amar of Nachman by Yitzchak, no. The kula alma hezik shenei nikud loy shmei hezik. Remeir also agrees it's not a damage. The question is, when they made this knas amazed, did they include shaygig as well? There's a concept that we feel that sometimes you make a punishment, you want to do something, you have to go further than you need to go in order to preserve your takana. If you're not going to make him pay b'shaygig, only b'mezid, you're going to have a hard time because he's going to say, I was a shaygig. So you shouldn't have to pay, you'll say, I was a shaygig. So therefore, they Remeir holds, they said, everybody pays. That's kansu shaygig atu mezid. Not because it's a shmei hezik. Hezik shenei nikud loy shmei hezik. But Remeir felt, if you're going to do this, you got to go all the way. Because if not, it's not going to work. And Rabbi Yehuda Sefer, like Kansu Shagi got to Mason. My Sefer, like Kansu Shagi got to Mason. Look, actually, Remeir Sefer shmei hezik, who can have b'shagi chayiv, this Rabbi Mepetit on the spice, that's the Rabbi Shagi. Loy shmei hezik, v'mezid is m'chayiv shum k'nasa. Remeir Kana Shagi got to Mason, v'yavag at the Mason gufa k'nasa, even though Mason is a k'nas, he expanded the k'nas to Shagi as well. Zuck the Gemara. So now we're left with a new machloikus. We're leaving Chizki and Rabbi Yechon behind. We finished with Hezik Shein and Nikur. Now we got a new machloikus. Kansu Shagig Otu Mezid. Whenever Chazal make a knas, Do they expand it to include Shaygig, or do they only punish Mezid? Reb Meir seems to say, if you want it to work, you got to go the whole way. And Rabbanan seems to say, no, you can punish Mezid without punishing Shaygig.
But if you say you do goes there, that means wherever there is a...
Knas.
You have to do it that's...
That's what the Gemara is going to ask now, because we're going to find places not that way, and that's what we're getting involved in. So the next 3/4 of a Bab Gemara, almost in the Mishnah, almost a blood, we'll be dealing with this concept of Kuntu Shaygig, go to Mezid or not. According to Reb Meir, every time you make a knas, it should go all the way. According to Reb Yehuda, it should not, and we'll find all kinds of different kinds.
Before the knas, we cannot spoke of Rina, right?
That doesn't mean anything.
That just means
one case to the other case.
Right.
But in this case, when you make the knas, do you include Shaygig or not? That's a machlokes Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda.
Right, but you should go to each case and say, well,
again, the concept of Shaygig Atu Mezid is a universal concept.
No matter what the situation is.
That's what the Gemara thinks, correct. It's a universal concept. When you make a punishment, you start differentiating between Mezid and Shaygig. It's a universal concept. Reb Meir says no, and Reb Yehuda says yes. Now, the Gemara is going to carve out differences as we go along, but that's how the Gemara understands it right now. Frank the Gemara. Barami d'Rameyah d'Rameyah, Barami d'Rameyah d'Rameyah. I got a contradiction in both of them. The Tanya. Hamavat now. And this next Machloikas is a bunch of different Shitas. I'm going to translate it according to one Shita, Rashi, Chulun, and Taisus. Hamavashu b'Shabbos b'Shaygig Yechol. If somebody cooks by mistake on Shabbos, he can eat it right away. B'mezid, lo yoichol. B'mezid, he cannot eat it on Shabbos. He can eat it mitzvah Shabbos. That's Reb Meir Shita. Divrei Reb Meir. So Reb Meir holds, if you cook Shabbos, we differentiate if you did it on purpose or not. Right away. Here is your stira in Reb Meir. Reb Meir just said, we differentiate between Shaygig and Mezid. Right. Because the only reason we don't let you eat it on Shabbos, you did it b'mezid, is a punishment. You did malach on Shabbos. Reb Yehuda Eimer, the shaygig yaychol l'maitzis Shabbos, he treats shaygig like a mayor treated mezid. B'mezid lo yayachol olamis. B'mezid, he can never eat it. That means Reb Yehuda is differentiating between shaygig and mezid, right? But he did punish shaygig. He didn't say Shaygig is off the hook. He punished Shaygig to Mezid. Not to the same degree, but he definitely punished Shaygig. Not like Reb Yehuda before that said Shaygig is off the hook. Reb Yehuda said Shaygig is off the hook. Reb Yehuda had Yechon Hassan Bereimer, B'Shaygig Ye'ochel L'maitzi Shabbos L'Acherim V'Leilai. Reb Yehuda Hassan Bereimer, Shaygig is like Reb Yehuda's Mezid. That Maitzi Shabbos others can eat it, he cannot. Shabbos, nobody can eat it. B'mezid lo yechol olamis lo yloi v'loi l'acherim. If he cooks b'mezid, it becomes usher forever and ever. Those are the three opinions. What we want is Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda. Reb Meir differentiating between Shaygig and Mezid, and Reb Yehuda, even though he differentiates, punishes Shaygig. Reb Meir before is the one that punished Shaygig. Here he doesn't. Reb Yehuda is the one that didn't, and here he does. That's our contradiction. Zuk Rashi, Reb Meir called a Shaygig out the bird, did it. B'Shaygig Yoichel Hu Atzmai, V'af B'Shabbos. B'Shaygig Yoichel Hu Atzmai, L'maitzah Shabbos. L'acha Shehim Tim B'Gdei Shiyasu. Can't have pleasure from the fact that he did it on Shabbos, so he has to wait the amount of time it would have taken him to cook. That's called B'Gdei Shiyasu. B'Shabbos, boy, the kind of Shaygig out the mezit. But Reb Yechon Asadlo Garis Yeyochel. Reb Yechon suffered Maisa Shabbos Asurim Bachila. He holds that if you work Shabbos Mamezid, you cannot eat it.
I mean, is that
going to
have
conflict
with Rabbi Binay? He wasn't warned? Is that why?
This has nothing to do with anything. It's whether he can eat it or not. Nobody's paying. There's no payment here.
Punishment for cooking.
Is that nobody can, the food becomes usher.
Yeah,
that you don't punish a guy to punishment.
Right.
Not letting him eat it is not called making a separate punishment. He's not doing anything. It's not an active punishment. It's not an active punishment. He's not, you're not making him pay that he can't eat it. It's not an active punishment. Does he have to shell out anything?
Yeah, he is such
an awesome guy. No, he does not.
Yeah, new food. That's right.
That's not called shelling out. Not paying any. If he stole the meat while he was cooking it in the Shabbat Achas, then you're right. Then he wouldn't pay because you don't have to pay anybody because of Kamlim and Rabbinah. Kamlim and
Rabbinah is only a din in only a din in Mamun.
Or Malkus. And for the Gemara. Rameh Demeh Lekasha. Tikonis v'drabonim v'derais v'lekonis. When things are rabbinic, because hezek shen nikur is not a hezek, so the whole thing is rabbinic. Therefore, he punishes shaygig, because he's afraid, if you don't punish shaygig, you're undermining the strength of your takana, and you worry about rabbinic things, that people are not going to take him seriously. The rice, the cooking on Shabbos is biblical. So when we punish him for that, it's not necessary to punish him for shaygig. It'll last on its own. It's not a weak takana because it's based on a cooking on deraisa. Frek the Gemara of a Manasseh deraisa who v'kakanis doing nisuk is a deraisa according to Rav. Remember, he did Avedah Zarah, and still we punish him. So the Gemara Mishim Chumrat Avedah Kacham Kanis, that's an exception to the rule because Avedah Zarah is so severe that we punish even Shaggy. So Remeir with Meyashiv. He punishes when things are rabbinic. He's afraid. If he won't punish Shaggy, the thing won't last. So he has to expand it to Shaygik. By things are biblical, you can punish Mezid and not Shaygik. I'm a Nasach as a Deraisa. Over there, Adarabba, David Zara Chumra says you got to punish him more. So, Drabbanan he punishes more to keep the Drabbanan intact. David Zara he punishes more because it's Abed Zara. And Deraisa, he says, Mezid can last without Shaygik. Shabbos is a deraisa. Cooking on Shabbos is a deraisa. Correct.
Why?
I don't know. You tell me. I know Michal Shabbos is Eved Avedah Zarah, but it's not. It's still not Eved Avedah Zarah. Eved Avedah Zarah is very heavy. We punish him that the wine becomes aser. They have to pay for it. Hezek said niggas like my hezek were punished. Now, but here Rashi says different than I said yesterday. And I did speak out some Rishonim yesterday, so I didn't make it up. But Rashi clearly learns that if you hold hezek shen niggas like my hezek, it's not even biblically prohibited to do. Remember yesterday I said that everybody holds you're not allowed to do it. Question is if you pay. But Rashi says not like me. And we said them who argue, but this is Rashi. Sub Rashi, the Kali Madami Isurah Drabbananu. Even the Loish Mehezik ain't kind Isurah Deraisa. Now the Rishonim never bothered. What do you mean, being Matame Truma is an Issa Deraisa? The answer is, you can learn it's talking about Truma Drabbanan, or you can learn it's talking about Matame Chulin. Not every Matame is a Deraisa. There are Matames that are only Asim Drabbanan. And as far as damages are concerned, since Hezek Shaydan Nikar Loish Mehezik, it's not called asim deraisa to do. But divrei seifrim chich and chizuk. Divrei seifrim needs strength. Who can call us ava shaygig? Ava bishul b'shabbos yisur deraisa hu. V'lo shkiach to avri Allah. It doesn't happen frequently. Who can call us? So Rashi explains why by biblical things don't you have to punish shaygig? Because people stay away from biblical things. Shem chumad avet izara. V'achikam in isur kanas. So we enter the contradiction with Rameir, and I mention him tomorrow. We'll talk about Rabbi Yehuda. Everybody should have a wonderful